God, the creator of all that is, seen and unseen. Amen. I believe in things I cannot see. What about you? Or do you only believe in what your five senses perceive? Oh, but there's so much more. So much more. In this week when we will celebrate St. Valentine's Day, do you believe in love? And if you do, can you say that you believe in it because your senses alone prove it to you? Or does it go deeper, so much deeper? How many dimensions are there? Three? Three in space, length, width, height. What about the fourth dimension? Time. And modern theoretical physicists postulate that there are six or even seven more dimensions. Never fear, we will not be exploring all 10 or 11 dimensions today, in part because I don't begin to understand the six or seven extra dimensions that physicists postulate. But I do, along with you, want to explore, with the help of Isaiah and the God he encounters in the temple, and with the help of Peter and the God he encounters in Jesus, on and underneath the mysterious waters of the Sea of Galilee, I want to explore with you thin places. In Celtic spirituality, thin places have been said to name the place where the God dimension and the human dimension meet, where the imagined barrier between our world and God thins out. Celtic spirituality says that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, and in the thin places, even closer. Where are your thin places? Are they in prayer and worship, in quiet reflection and meditation? Maybe like Isaiah in the temple? Does God appear to you in those sorts of places? Or are you more of a thin place in nature kind of person? Along the seashore, in the mountains, in wilderness places, or even in tamed but beautiful places like the Commonwealth Mall or the Esplanade or the Arboretum in JP? Does God appear to you in places of natural beauty and in the mystery that lies just behind that beauty? Or maybe you're a person who finds the thin places in your own imagination, in the way your imagination approaches art or music or the beauty of writing, particularly in, say, an amazing poem. Or maybe there's a thin place for you, like me, in your dream life, where God keeps crossing the boundary. So what is it that we learn and experience in these thin places? I think there are two things that can seem at first contradictory to one another. First, we learn about our own smallness, our relative paucity in contrast to the immensity of God. You heard it today in both the readings. Isaiah, the great poet, somehow feels in his encounter with God inadequate. I'm a man of unclean lips. My poetry is as nothing compared to you. Or Peter, the great fisherman. He thought he knew so much about fishing. But when he finds that Jesus, a carpenter who's not a fisherman, knows where to catch the fish, and in fact, helps them to bring up such a large catch that it sinks two boats, Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." So first, in our encounters with God, we learn how small we are compared to God's greatness. But secondly, and almost seemingly in contradiction, at the same moment we discover our infinite worth. That God, this immense God, cares enough about us to cross from one dimension into another, to be here with us, in the midst of us. That beloved mystery that reaches across thin places to touch, to love, to call, to send. We discover there that God loves and believes in you, in me. That God trusts you, whether you trust God or not. That God needs you, hard as it may be to believe that God needs you. God needs you. And though you may not feel worthy to be sent, God wants to send you. To send you. Because you are a unique creation. There's never been a you before, and there never will be a you after. The image and likeness of God in you is unlike that image and likeness in any other human being before and never will be again. What you can do, no one else can. It probably won't be grandiose, but it will be important. So we learn our smallness and our infinite worth in these thin places. And we learn three other things. We learn something about what it's like to be in those thin places where God is right there with us. To help you remember these three other things, I'm beginning each of them with the letter B. The first thing we learn about those thin places is that we get to bask in the mysterious beauty of God. You know what that's like. It's not like anything else. It's surprising. Whether it's Isaiah in the temple experiencing God's presence, or Peter on the Sea of Galilee, somehow feeling that God has risen up out of the depths, we get to bask in the beauty and mystery of God. There's a window here, a window that I always found sort of dark and not very interesting. It's called the Presentation of the Virgin. It's okay to turn around and look. It's the first window on that wall, the right wall as you face the altar, as you head down the aisle. There's a lute player at the bottom, and there's the Virgin disappearing up steps into darkness as she goes into the temple. I'd never much liked that window until one day in the afternoon, the sun was shining directly through it. I don't remember why I was here in the church, but it was with a group of other people on a weekday for something mundane. Suddenly, the light and the color in that window took hold of me. If I weren't such a shy person, I would have fallen to my knees to give thanks for the beauty, the mysterious beauty that had always been hiding in the darkness of that window that surprised me. basking in the beauty and mystery of God. But the second thing we do, like Isaiah and Peter, is in the face of God's amazing presence, we balk. We somehow feel inadequate to it. "I'm a man of unclean lips," says Isaiah. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man," says Peter. And you and I, in our own ways, say, "I am not worthy of what you are trying to give me." But God gives it anyway. God crosses the boundary of our balking and comes anyway. In Isaiah's case, God comes as a flaming angel with a burning coal and cleans up the unclean lips that Isaiah fears. No wonder Isaiah balked. And Peter, do you notice how Jesus reacts to Peter's, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man"? It's as if Jesus hasn't even heard him. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, okay, man, get down on your knees and beg for forgiveness." He just says, "Don't be afraid. I have something for you to do." To our balking, God says, "That's not a barrier. That's not a barrier. I will overcome that barrier because there's a B word, a beginning I want from you. I want you to begin something for me. There's something I have for you to do." This morning, just before the 9 o'clock service, some people felt called to begin to do something for God by showing up for the winter walk for the homeless. Who knows what beauty and mystery of God they discovered on their walk? And I would not presume to tell you that I know what you should begin. That is something that you and God need to work out. As God breaks through and you bask and balk and ask, "What is it, Lord, you want me to begin to do for you?" Through the help of one parishioner here, I've begun something over the last 6 weeks that is a new beginning for me. I was beginning to feel as if my life was absorbed by nothing but administrivia. And so I joined a writing group that meets once a month. And as homework, that parishioner said, "I want you every morning to notice 5 things before you begin your day. And write them down. 5 things. Now, I don't want you to think that my life has completely been transformed by this writing. But I will say, each day that I write, some days I balk, each day that I write, there is something new that begins. There is something that I notice that I would not have noticed. There is some breaking through of God in a thin place sort of way that I would not have noticed without the practice. So what is God asking you to begin as God gives you something to bask in, some mystery, some beauty? And as you balk, and as God says, "Your balking is not a barrier to me," what is God asking you to begin? Only you will be able to work that out. Only you. But I will wager one thing will happen if you do. Life will be different. Life will be different if you notice God breaking through the thin places. Life will be different if you notice that your balking does not stop God. Life will be different if you simply begin. Simply begin what God invites you to do. I believe in God, the creator of all that is seen and unseen. What about you?